to do. There's supposed to be music playing right now, in case you're wondering. But apparently we're not going to get any music to open the podcast today. But I'm looking on the switchboard here, Dan, and it does say it's playing. So maybe people can hear it in their heads, and just you and I can't hear it. Okay, there you go. It would have ended right now anyway, so we can start now. This is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. You can pretty much call it whatever you want, but I'm the Big Jack, he's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings over there, so you can expect a new one of them tomorrow morning. But you should stop by there just to see whatever the heck pops up on a daily basis. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I greatly appreciate it. We still haven't figured out why Mr. Fantasy doesn't. You just got to understand he just likes that. So, but don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
One DL spot only. What is that about? Dandy Man with 3 E's.
I was like, wait, did he change his Twitter handle? I was like, what the hell's going on there? So, but you know, since it is almost baseball season and it is fantasy time, Dan, I came across this article about 7 sleepers that you need to get in your fantasy draft. And interestingly, it was posted a little less than an hour and a half ago. And the very first guy he has, I got to double check this, make sure I got the title right. Yeah, 7 sleepers for fantasy baseball draft. Oddly, the very first guy he has listed is Greg Bird. Didn't you and I just talk about this guy yesterday? And he's going to be out for like 6 to 8 weeks. And now that, you know, I mean, I'm going to go back. I got to go back up here and check again. But Jake, I'm going to guess this last name is pronounced Seely. C-I-E-L-Y is how it's spelled. So I'm going to go with Seely. Yeah, buddy. I don't even know what to say about that. Of course, as I go through this list, Dan, you and I will both realize that none of these guys are actually sleepers in our league. This is if you happen to have a 10-team or a 12-team league, because I guarantee you every single one of these guys was drafted in our league, including Greg Bird, who is the first guy on this list. So, yeah. So, but all right, Dan, our next sleeper.
Did you tweet that link or?
Yes, I did.
Can I find it?
I put it on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, so it goes out on the Twitter feed. The next guy they have up here is Trevor Story, Dan. So if you're in a smaller league, look for Trevor Story as your shortstop. I don't know if you'd call Story a sleeper as much as you'd call him a comeback guy, because he sucked last year. Mr. Fantasy and I had him in the money league because he's Mr. Fantasy's guy. And he was so bad that I actually was allowed to stop playing him, and that'll really tell you something because Mr. Fantasy is really behind this guy. If he gets his you know what straight, he will be a 30-homer guy in Colorado. So if you're waiting on a shortstop, maybe you find him there. I don't know, Dan, how are you on the Trevor Story board there? Are you on board this year?
No.
All right, now, you know, this next guy, Dan, you know, I've been hearing about this guy for, I believe, 2 seasons now. And, you know, while I think he's put up decent numbers, it seems like I'm still kind of waiting for that breakout. And that's Nomar Mazara of the Texas Rangers. You know, again, another, I believe you could call him a big-time prospect, but you know, I don't know if he's backed it up yet. And, you know, again, maybe he fits into the sleeper category. But, you know, Danny, you know, he's a career 259 hitter. He's had back-to-back 20-homer seasons. He did get over 100 RBIs last year. He got to 101. But the Rangers, you know, that's a good team to drive in runs with. He may be one of the few guys who actually fits into the sleeper category on this list. But yeah, I don't know. Are you buying him there, Dan, or are you you rolling another way there?
Sorry, I was trying to find this Jake. I asked him why he's not working for State Farm.
Yes.
I mean, if he plays, but I looked at him. I didn't really think he would be a sleeper.
Yeah, well, no, he's like in our, like I said, like in our league, he's not a sleeper. I mean, he's well known. He's not even a sleeper in my money league that Mr. Fantasy and I do together. You know, it's just one of those things. Like I said, in a smaller league, you know, he's definitely a sleeper. He's not one of those guys you have hanging out there. You know, we'll move along here. Then the next guy, and I'm not quite sure if you can categorize this guy as a sleeper anymore, because every fantasy baseball list I've seen, Dan, this year, and I mean every single one, has had this guy as the catcher to get, and that's Christian Velasquez of the Red Sox. You know, he split time last year, which is always the big concern, is, you know, is he going to get enough at bats? But you know, when he plays, he hits. You know, I'm trying to remember, they had another, you know, the other catcher was the guy who was supposed to be the breakout guy, and I'm drawing a blank on who that was off the top of my head. I'm going to have to look it up here real quick and see if I can get the name. Where is Sandy Leon? There you go. Thank you. But, you know, Velasquez really outplayed him last year. You know, he hit 290. Leon only hit 225. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to get a ton of power out of Velasquez. In those 99 games he played, he only hit 5 bombs. It's just not his game. I mean, it's really, you know, really kind of definition of taking a shot with a guy here, because he's not going to be in a position to produce runs in this Red Sox lineup. So if you're going to go this route, you're going to have to catch a couple breaks with him, and I think they're going to kind of fall this way. But if you're going to wait to draft a catcher, he's as good as, you know, any of the guys there that are in the bottom of the bottom of the catching barrel there. Excuse me. Let me grab my water here real quick. Did you end up with Vasquez or Leon, or did you stay away from the Red Sox?
I stayed away from them this year.
So, yeah, I was going to grab him, Velasquez, as my backup catcher in our snake league. I always like to carry two. So, you know, I don't miss out on at bats if one of them just happens to get a day off. But he went way too early, so I'm guessing somebody was reading the same articles that I was, because he was really, really pushed up the list. And like the dude writing the article here says, by the end of the year, he'll be a top 12 catcher. So that's pretty high praise. You know, I mean, I know there is a big decline in catching, you know, as it moves around. I mean, you've got your top guys and then there's quite a fall off. So, you know, maybe that's not too big of a deal. All right. Hey, we're moving into some pitching here now, Dan, as it looks like we're going to get a couple pitchers to wrap up our sleepers here. We're going to start with Kevin Gausman of the Orioles. You know, it's finally the year that Gausman is going to be put in a situation to kind of prove if he's the guy or not. You know, it's going to be him and Dylan Bundy at the top of that rotation. And I guess it's sink or swim time. You know, he is just 27. Yeah, you know, he made 34 starts last year, Dan. So he took the ball, but he was 11-12 with a 4.68 ERA. For his career, that ERA is over 4 in 106 career starts and 129 career games. I can see this guy being a sleeper in a 10 or a 12 team league. You take him as your fourth or fifth starter and you hope for the best. Is this his year, Dan? You got a breakout year for Gausman? Is this the year him and Dylan Bundy lead that Orioles rotation to success? Because I know you're a Dylan Bundy guy.
They sure hope so, but I don't think so.
Did you manage to end up with either of them?
No, Bundy I did.
Yeah. Well, I know he's your guy, so, you know, that's, I figured you'd get one of them. Interestingly, we move along here. Our next pitcher, they go with Mike Clevenger. I actually have not seen the Indians announce starting rotation, so I don't know if he actually nailed down a spot. But, you know, if he did, he could be an interesting guy. He's, you know, he's had some success, Dan. Last year he was 12-6 with a 3.11 ERA. Did make 21 starts, appeared in 27 games. I guess after putting up those kind of numbers, he's the guy you look at, right? You give him a shot because Danny Salazar is basically washed out, and I think he's starting the year on the DL again. So you plug this guy in and give him Salazar's role?
What choice do you have?
Oh, well, you know, I'm sure there's always, somebody else down there. You know, everybody's got a prospect, Dan. There's probably a prospect in their organization, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, but I don't know. Do you like him? Did you see enough of him in the World Series against the Cubs a couple years ago to figure out if you liked him or not?
No, I mean, I feel like these are just shots in the dark.
So... and the last one here he wraps up. This is actually probably the guy who I would consider the biggest sleeper on his list here. He throws Joe Musgrove in, who's now a Pittsburgh Pirate. He was part of the Gerrit Cole trade. And he was always talked about in Houston. You know, he was, again, you know, a prospect that, for whatever reason, they couldn't find room for as part of their rebuild or however it worked out. So he's actually going to get a chance here with Pittsburgh to establish himself as, you know, a top of the rotation guy. So it'll be quite interesting. You know, he only has 25 career starts over two seasons. He does have 49 career games. So, you know, the ERA a little high, 4.52. You expect it to be higher being in the American League, but that's still a little high there. At 25, Dan, like I said, he seems to be the one actual sleeper on this list. I was sort of kind of interested in him, but by the time it came around, I never ended up getting him. Being to Pittsburgh, are you into him there? I mean, you know, their pitching coach, Ray Searidge, has had a lot of success with guys. You think he could be a big time, you know, or a big time sleeper or some help for guys here?
Maybe fourth, fifth pitcher, but I don't really see it.
That was his list, seven, as they call sleepers, to move along there. Interestingly, I found another one that were deep sleepers. You know, the deep sleeper is the guy you take, you know, in your last waning rounds of stuff when you're, you know, kind of looking for that thing. And humorously, Mike Clevenger is on this deep sleeper list. So that's kind of fun. Just to throw you the other names as they put as deep sleepers here. Manuel Margot, who really isn't, Matt Duffy. And that's it. They've only got three deep sleepers. So there you go. Those are your deep sleepers for your fantasy draft. Duffy is the only one on that list that's actually a deep sleeper, because if Clevenger is actually in the Indians rotation, you're going to want him because he's going to be on a team that's going to win 90 plus games. So, you know, and Duffy is at least coming back from injury. But Margot is a starting center fielder who was a National League Rookie of the Year contender last year. I don't think you consider him maybe a sleeper in a small league, but definitely not a deep sleeper. So, but yeah, you know, it's always kind of fun to, you know, look at what these, you know, what these guys find kind of decide are sleepers and what's not a sleeper. And, you know, again, like in Dan and mine's league, you know, with 20 teams, there really are no sleepers. I know Mr. Fantasy tried to describe it as a player that overperforms, but I don't think that makes him a sleeper. You know, I think that's probably a different category. So, you know, I think a sleeper is that guy you kind of go, hey, I'm going to take a shot with here in this last round and see if it works out. But, yeah, you know, I guess it just depends your definition. Do you have a definition of sleeper, Dan?
Yeah, the smartest guy in the room picked him.
Yes. So, and he picked him too early. So that happens in our money league all the time. These guys go off the board, and you're kind of like, man, why are you picking this guy already? So, but, I know people are still out there getting drafts going, because I know a lot of people like to wait till, that last minute while the rosters are finalized and all that stuff. So, you know, there'll be people drafting right up, until Thursday. There'll probably be drafts going on Thursday as well. So, we'll have to see how it goes.
Well, and some don't even start till the first full week.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Well, you were probably at work, so you did not get – did you get to see or watch any of the Cubs Red Sox game that they had on the Mickey Mouse Network today, or were you just busy?
I would have, but I swore it's at 6 o'clock.
So, yeah, they did the thing where they mic a player, and today they mic'd Mookie Betts, and it was kind of humorous because they had a fly ball hit the right field. Obviously, he was playing right field, and the wind got a hold of it. And he was talking the whole time. He was like, oh, the wind's really blowing. And as he was running after it, he goes, yeah, I ain't getting this one. So it was kind of pretty humorous to kind of listen to his commentary as he was, kind of chasing this foul ball. That made it a little fun. But, other than that, it was just your basic, spring training game. Let's get this over with so we can start the major league season. But, do you like when they mic the guys like that?
Well, I mean, it's preseason, it's the All-Star game. I don't have an issue with it. I think it would be distracting if it was during the game. Regular season.
Yeah, I'm trying to I don't remember who they mic'd at the All-Star game. I know they did something, but I don't remember who it was. So. Do you remember who they mic'd by any chance?
Last year?
Yeah, who was mic'd at the All-Star game last year? Do you remember?
How can you forget? Bryce Harper. Or, I'm sorry, that's
a
long
okay.
question, bro.
Yeah, I honestly did not remember it. I just couldn't put it in my mind that, yeah, he was the guy. So, I guess I just spaced it off. So. But yeah, and then I know we mentioned this the other day. You and I were kind of talking about Jason Worth, and he was talking about how he wanted to continue to play, even though he was 39 or 38, excuse me, and he hadn't had any real offers. Well, Danny, he finally got a contract on today. So it looks like the Seattle Mariners have extended a minor league contract to him. And they are shipping him off to extended spring training before he heads to Class AAA Tacoma.
Wait, who was that?
So, I don't know. Jason Worth. So, yeah, he will be he'll be 39 in May. But he fits in real well with the 40-year-old, right? So,
I'm sure he'll be able to come up in the majors.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. I mean, they have a pretty young outfield. I know it's dinged up. So it'll be interesting to see if he ever actually gets there with them. But, you never know. I mean, maybe, veteran guy, there's, might be a spot somewhere. The one guy still... As long as he doesn't do what?
Stewart, please. Well, you didn't finish. Pulling Ian Stewart and tweet out how he's being treated.
Yeah, well, Ian Stewart was a D-bag, and, you know. you know, he's a below average major league player that thought he was more important than he was. So. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, still got paid $10 million playing AAA. So.
Yeah, I would have taken it.
Yeah, you know. Well, he did. You know, I believe, you know, he got all that money to do that. But, yeah, we'll see how it works out. You know, the one guy I'm still surprised can't find a job is Greg Holland. You know, with all the bad pitching and relief pitching that's out there, I don't understand why this guy doesn't have a job. I don't know what his demands are or were, Dan, but why, you know, what are your thoughts here? Why isn't this guy signed?
I was going to say Scott Boras, but, you know, some of his guys were signed. I just don't think the market is there for closers like it was in the past.
Yeah, no, I do know, teams did some odd stuff this year. You know, I mean, the Cubs are importing a closer who's not a closer. The Cardinals kind of did the same thing. The White Sox are going with a closer who I believe is almost 40. I don't know.
6 years.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the Angels didn't really settle on a guy. They have, like, I think four guys with closing experience. I know the A's are trying a new guy. Obviously the Tigers are rebuilding, so God knows what the hell they'll do at the back end of their bullpen. I am a little surprised that, you know, even like maybe a contender didn't take a look at him to even have him set up. You know, I mean, the Astros had a ton of bullpen issues last year. And, you know, what, their guy to settle the bullpen down is Hector Rondon. Is that how they're going to do it?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe that's the thing. The contenders already all have their closers and don't want to pay closer / starter money for a setup guy.
Yeah, but, you know, at this point, you got to figure he's got to know he's not getting that, right? I mean, he would probably take a lower deal just to get in, wouldn't you think?
I mean, that's what I would think, but we can't get in the minds of these guys. You know, he set a price for himself and he doesn't want to come down from it.
If he's doing something like that, then obviously he's just being stupid because, you know, if he's shut out of this year, you know, it was kind of like with the other idiots, you know, the Jake Arrietas and the Alex Cobb and that. If you'd have got shut out this year, the money wouldn't have been there next year. You know, it's not like they would have said, oh, yeah, okay, you sat out an entire season. Here's $30 million a year to come back and play for us. that doesn't happen. You know, it's just like, okay, why are we being ridiculously stupid here? I'm just kind of surprised. You know, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of, a lot of bad closing in baseball, and you just kind of thought a guy who had 41 saves could have found his way onto somebody's roster somewhere.
Oh, I know, but, you know, I mean, there's always the opportunity that teams reevaluate. That's who they go for.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I get it. You know, a lot of the bigger money teams were really trying to cut payroll. You know, the Dodgers were trying to get under the luxury cap. But, you know, the Yankees were trying to save a little money. So, you know, the teams that normally may have looked at him and said, oh, yeah, we'll add you to our bullpen, you know, the money just wasn't there this time around. You know, I just wonder, you know, if he, you know, if he finds it. Like, I'm just reading here, Dan, apparently the Diamondbacks are going to go with Brad Boxberger as their closer.
What about Archie Bradley?
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. A lot of people thought it was going to be Archie Bradley, but it looks like he will be remaining in that lovely setup role he had last year. where, you know, he gets to come in and pitch multiple innings. So we'll, I mean, these things are always in flux. I mean, closers change quite frequently from team to team, but, you know, you just kind of, you know, and again, the Diamondbacks are supposed to be a playoff contender. So you're looking at a guy who actually hasn't had a save in the last 2 years, but did have 41 back in 2005.
Well, there you go. Divide that by, 12 years. Yeah. Or 13 years.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see if he's the right guy for the job. I mean, you know, I was a little shocked they didn't go with Archie Bradley. I grabbed him in one of the leagues thinking for sure he was going to be the closer. We'll have to see how Boxberger does. But I'm wondering, you know, he's probably went undrafted in quite a few leagues. I'm willing to bet he's going to be a pretty popular grab on the waiver wire there. You know, I don't know if he's available in either of our leagues. I didn't look, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was. I'm sure you're on there right now looking for Mark.
No, I mean, I've got my closers. I've been looking for more setup men. And like I said, I have too many hitters, so I'm hoping I won't figure it out till after the weekend's over what I really want to do with the team.
kind of interesting that they didn't go with Bradley. How surprised are you by that? Oh, I don't know. You went underwater there. I couldn't hear you.
I said that Dick Greinke's money is still throwing the Diamondbacks. So it's probably why they didn't go after a guy like Holland.
Yeah, you know, I guess you got to kind of, you know, wonder how it's going to, you know, how it's going to go with them. I mean, you know, they are a playoff contender. So, you know, we'll have to see if they make some other kind of move, or, who knows? Maybe, you know, he reclaims the form that got them, got them 41 saves, right?
Well, anything's possible, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, you know, that's why I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, they went that, they went that route.
But, you know, the other side of things is, you and I aren't, you know, full-time baseball scouts. We're just two guys on a phone, so what do we know, right?
Yeah, you know. Definitely.
Even though I do.
Kinda
yeah. Even though I do think our insight has been, maybe not elite over the last 5 years we've been doing this, 6 years almost. But we've been pretty much on right up there.
Yeah, I'd like to think we do a decent job. I mean, obviously it's hit or miss like anything else, but
The problem is you don't yell enough.
Kind of
so that's why we're not on TV or the radio.
Yeah, I used to yell more. I've calmed down over the years of us doing this. Now, I don't get as upset as quickly as I used to.
That's because Mr. Fantasy is only on for 2 hours a week now.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have to. I don't get all the pressure there of, you know, having to work with Mr. Fantasy that much. So.
No, but I mean, as you were talking, I just, you know, you start thinking about Greg Holland, 41 saves last year. That's all things considering, that's pretty solid. But, you know, I think part of the issue now is all these damn saber metrics, and then the you know, I mean, we always talk about it. You always bring it up with the NFL. It's a copycat league. And I think that kind of comes along, too, with baseball in the sense that, you know, Theo and the Cubs aren't or haven't been really willing to pay all the money for a shutdown, all-out, lights-out closer. You know, who was the closer for the 2015 Royals? It wasn't Soria.
Greg Holland.
He was with the team prior to that.
It was
Greg Holland.
It was Greg Holland.
But he came out of Tampa, isn't that right? He came from Tampa for that pitcher for the White Sox now, James Shields.
Holland was he? I thought he came through the Royal system, but let me double check.
Did
I
he?
Can.
Or maybe it was Shields that came from Tampa to Kansas City.
Yeah, Shields,
you know,
came
kind
from
of.
Tampa.
I don't know, it's killing me.
Yeah, no,
but,
he was,
you know.
Yeah, Roland was drafted by the Royals, so he came through their system.
So, I mean, there you go, right there. And that's only going back to 15. You've got a guy who came up through the system. He made his saves. That, you know, that was 14 and 15 were the year everyone was following what the Royals were doing with the 7, 8, 9. Just kind of lights out, you know, bullpen. No messing around with those guys. And then, well, they won in 15, so then we go to 16, the Cubs won, 17, the Astros won, and these three teams didn't really go out and pay for closers. You know, the Cubs did do the nice little trade for Aroldis Chapman. It paid off. It worked out for them. And then Joe Maddon, you know, obviously I think he had insight into the fact that Chapman wasn't coming back, so he used him up as best as he could so that the Yankees kind of lost it out on their deal. But you know, right there, like you've always said, you know, a lot of these leagues are copycat leagues, and you know, no one's paying for closers.
No, well, you know, like the Dodgers paid Kenley Jansen really well. You know, there are a few guys who have managed to,
well,
you know,
I mean,
get
the deal
their paydays.
Mark Melanson.
You know, yeah, you know, I mean, Mark, you know, yeah, Mark Melanson got a pretty good deal. But yeah, it's been. You know, when I think like the thing that just kind of makes it weird for me is you look at the teams like the Cubs and the Cardinals that are legitimate contenders, and it's just kind of so shaky that, you know, this is the route they're going to go. You know, I mean, Morrow is just incredibly unproven as a closer, and then the backup they sign is Steve Cishek, who was good quite a few years ago now with the Mariners. And, you know, I know he was solid with the Cardinals last year, but that was a setup guy, you know, and then, you know, and then you're looking at, you know, the Cardinals go with Luke Gregerson, who is just kind of injury prone here the last few years of his career. And, you know, the fact that he's another guy who's pushing 40. So, you
yeah,
know,
they
it's kind of like,
oh, or sung one.
Yeah. You know, they let O go, and then they let Rosenthal go. And I mean, I understand Rosenthal now, he came up with a bad arm. So I can understand kind of letting him go. I actually think he needs Tommy John surgery. So, you know, I kind of get that there, that you didn't want to, you know, bring him around, or maybe someone will do the thing where they sign him for 2 years so he can rehab this year, and then they get him next year, like the Rangers did with Edison Volquez. So yeah, you know, those are the two teams that jump right out at me because they're contenders, and you know, they're just kind of, you know, hey, this is, you know, this is what we're going to do. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's hope this works out.
Well, and you know, and I don't like to bring this one up because I think being in Chicago, the media definitely pushes, and I don't listen enough to Kaplan anymore because of his hours and my hours. So, you know, I know he's diehard Cubs all the way, spend all everyone's money, but, you know, I haven't heard his opinion on things in a while. But, you know, when it comes to the guys who just regurgitate what they hear, you know, everyone thinks and everyone pushes for Carl Edwards Jr. to come, you know, kind of stroll into that closing role for the Cubs. So you've got to wonder if he's still being groomed for that, because I think even after the last two seasons, I don't think he's ready to take that job on 100% yet. But, you know, with Morrow and Cishek, it definitely takes the pressure off of him to let him to continue to perform out of the bullpen. But I do think it takes away the opportunity to get him acclimated to that.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping, you know, and this, you know, this is always tough to do with a contender like the Cubs, but it would be really nice if they could find a way to give Edwards some closing opportunities and, you know, kind of start that development, because he's always been, since they decided he wasn't a starter, he's always been kind of groomed as a future closer. And, you know, sooner or later, you've got to start giving him these chances so you can, you know, so you can see what you got. And, well, you know, it's just kind of, you know, 3 years now? 4 years
he's
been on the team?
I thought it was, I don't remember, but I know it's the last 2 years he's been kind of a, you know, a guy that you bring in out of the bullpen, you know, more reliable. But, you know, the other side of it is, and I hate to beat a dead horse and always bring up the Carlos Marmol thing, but, I mean, when a guy is kind of going into that role that he's being groomed, and it's painfully obvious that that's, you know, the route that what's going to happen, and then it's taken away once, taken away twice, soon you finally get the opportunity, you know, you're back to being like a rookie again, and everything just blows up in your face, where the smooth transition isn't really there. So, I mean, obviously we don't know the game plan or, you know, what is, you know, what kind of game plan is brought towards, you know, or a career path, so to speak, towards, you know, from Theo Jett and Joe Maddon to Carl Edwards. But you've got to imagine that it just goes from season to season.
So yeah, well, you know, this is a little more stable. This is a little more stabilized team than when Marmol was closing. You know, remember, you know, I don't remember who it was, but they threatened him if he went to the World Baseball Classic, he wouldn't be the closer. And he went,
and then
they used Kevin Gregg kind of, right. And then they signed Kevin Gregg to rub it in his face because he, you know, he went. You know, but he had, you know, Marmol had some really good years with the Cubs. I mean, not only as a setup guy, but when he finally took over as the closer, you know, you just wonder, I mean, looking at his stats, you know, the guy pitched in 82 games 1 year. And that, you know, that's one of those things that's just like unforeseen now in today's game. You know, you again, you know, you wonder maybe they just blew him out or they wore him out a little. 'Cause I mean, his game totals, you know, he went 82, 79, 77, and 75 for consecutive years before he dropped to 61. And I'm guessing maybe he was hurt then because his numbers were still pretty good before he kind of, you know, kind of had the meltdown there in 2013, and it all went to a very quick end as he was out of the game by 2014. You know, I mean, I know he, you know, the explosions were nice and it's, you know, well, look at what they did here or there. But yeah, looking at his numbers, I mean, taking the fandom out of it, he was good for them for, you know, a number of years.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I never said he wasn't, but I just felt like the games that they played just didn't help contribute to being the solid closer he should have been.
You know, yeah, and you know, again, I'd like to think that the management team now would kind of handle that situation a little better, you know, where they wouldn't kind of basically threaten a player who was going to, you know, go play for his country. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I don't think they'd go that route. I'm just saying, if it, you know, when it gets into these guys' heads and you kind of continue, if you lead them on to one thing, and
yeah,
they continuously not get it, you know, it could be a little bit of a mental thing, because we all know, you know, especially with sports, it's, you know, 10% physical, 90% mental. But that's what I meant, where we don't really know what the game plan is. And that's why I think with Morrow and C-Shack coming in, that it, you know, could take the pressure off of him, where you can bring him in and, you know, positions where Morrow's been used too much this week, and we have a closing opportunity, especially with the way the Cubs are anticipated to perform this year. I think the opportunities will be there for him to actually get some time to close.
Yeah, you know, I hope, you know, it would be nice to see, you know, and it's something actually the team needs to know as well. You know, I mean, is he a future closer, or is he just a setup guy? You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with being just the main setup guy. You know, that's a very valuable position in today's game as well. But, you know, it's the stuff teams need to figure out. So. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, again, how they work it. But I did see, switching up sports on you here, Dan, your guy, LiAngelo Ball, has declared for the NBA draft after his short stint in Lithuania. Do the Lakers do the diligence and pick him, or are we looking at your guy Jello just going undrafted and maybe them signing him as a free agent?
I think he goes undrafted, and then, you know, that will force the Lakers to trade Lonzo, because that's what Daddy said. Give me 2 more minutes. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
So, yeah, you know, obviously, LiAngelo and LiAngelo, I know I always do that because Dan calls him Jello, and the other brother, LaMichael, well, I don't even remember what his name is. You know, they spent time playing in Lithuania. LiAngelo, of course, you know, they had that little incident in China where he decided to shoplift with some teammates, and, you know, UCLA suspended him. Luckily, they negotiated it. Otherwise, he could actually be doing jail time in China right now instead of getting the opportunity to pursue, a NBA career in this case. They do mention the article I saw that says if he doesn't get drafted, he may go back to Lithuania for a couple more seasons. The options are very limited. I mean, I don't see him being a 12th or 13th man on a bench in an NBA team. Maybe somebody's got him as a G leaguer, you know, and they hope that down the road he develops, but, you know, again, it's a difficult spot because he is the third most talented of the Ball brothers. You know, everybody says that the next one down the road here, which is, why in the hell can't I remember his name? Yeah, is it LaMichael? I don't know. Now I'm going to have to, I'm going to actually have to bing it here, because for the life of me, I'm drawing a complete blank on what the heck. I mean, obviously, you know, Lamar is the dad, and, you know, they, you know, the other fun stuff that goes on, and that's quite frightening that there's a ref.
Just LaMelo.
LaMelo, thank you. For the life of me, I couldn't remember the damn name. So, but yeah, you know, LiAngelo is looked at as the third of the three talent-wise. LaMelo is supposed to be the best, and Lonzo is, you know, the middle guy there. But there have been some questions about LaMelo now that he won't be playing college ball on if he'll. So.
Now, will.
Yeah.
No, and I forget the rules, and I know you were going over it, but can't he just, now that he played internationally, can he just go play in the G League? Or was that what you were looking up?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, you know, they were saying that the Lakers adding him to their G League is an option. You know, I mean, not only the Lakers, but, you know, any team could really, you know, really decide if they wanted to take a look at him to, you know, could sign him to their G League. You know, but again, you just got to kind of wonder, you know, if, you know, right now, is he worth that? So.
Well, and, you know, when a kid like he gets signed by a team to play in the G League, or would he have to go through the, I know you don't know it, but I think it's just something to talk about. Would he have to go through the actual tryout, you know, where you got to spend the money and, you know, which would be like pulling out a $5 bill for the Ball family.
Yeah.
You know, go through that whole process, or do you think he just, you know, be at the Lakers, or, you know, just for sake of conversation, any other team just calls him up and says, hey, we want you on the G League. Okay. I got my own shoes.
Yeah, you know, yeah, my guess is he wouldn't have to go through the tryout because of the last name. You know, somebody would just sign him directly. You know, there are some other interesting choices that they present here. You know, he could consider going to the Chinese Basketball Association, you know, which they, which is humorous because that's where he got himself in trouble. There are some other leagues, you know, there's, you know, the Adriatic League, you know, like he could go back to Lithuania, which they call the LKL. So, you know, and then, you know, his daddy is going to try to start that league. He could always go play there. So.
You know, if he didn't have such a big mouth, maybe him and McMahon could have got together.
Yeah, you know, except it's difficult when, you know, you got two guys who both want to be the star. You know how that goes. But, he scored okay. You know, he had averaged 15.7 points per game in Lithuania. He shot 45% from, you know, behind the three-point line. So, you know, again, he put up decent numbers, but, you know, again, you got to look at it as well. That's Lithuania. You know, how does that compare? I saw here that one of the Mickey Mouse analysts by the name of Fran Furchilla, who's a basketball expert, ranks the Lithuanian league as the 11th best league in the world. So.
But, I mean, how can you, you know, obviously, I mean, you know, not to be all America, blah, 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 but how do you rank these leagues when you've got a team like, or a league like the NBA that's running 82 games of the year plus the 3 months of playoffs compared to a league that is running, what, 30 games a season? How does that even – how do you – that's comparing apples and grapes.
Yeah, I'm looking here to see who some of the other leagues that are rated here. There, you know, there's the French Pro A League. Of course, I mentioned the Chinese Basketball Association. Turkey has a league, the Turkish Basketball League. I actually remember that because if Enes Kanter goes back there to try to play, they're going to arrest him. Liga Basketball Serie A, which is Europe's best league. Yes, they describe it as Europe. Liga Nacional de Basquet, which is Argentina. I'm sure I butchered that. HIBA A1 is the Greece league. And then apparently the best league in the world that's not in the NBA is Liga ACB, which is in Spain. So, yeah, those would be some of the other choices or areas he could go to play if he wanted to kind of step up in competition and try to show the NBA that he's ready. You know, and they do find players from these leagues all the time. I mean, the league is littered with guys who, you know, have came out of these leagues. So maybe it's something, if he's serious, he takes a look at.
I would, but, I mean, and I don't know what you're looking for. Are you looking for the best competition-wise, or are you looking to make some money? Because, you know, it's about both. Sometimes I think the money hand is a little bit more important sometimes. I don't know. But, you know, I would think population-wise and exposure-wise, and I don't know about the, you know, the world basketball scene, but I would think going to China would definitely boost you know, the status and get the stats out there. I don't know though. I could be totally off.
Well, the advantage of the Chinese league is it is very offensive. They always have really big, high-scoring games. And I don't know if you remember Jimmer Fredette, who had a really short NBA career and actually spent a few games with the Bulls here in Chicago. He's the leading scorer there. And, I mean, he was a big-time scorer in college and just couldn't find a spot in the NBA. He's a monster over there. He puts up huge numbers per game in the Chinese league. And, you know, I mean, don't you think at this point for LiAngelo, he's got to prove to the NBA that he can play against better competition?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and that's the other thing. You know, Melo's supposed to be the best because, you know, he's the youngest and he had to fight more against the older brothers. But in the same token, he might be the more spoiled one, being the baby of the bunch. But at the same time, I mean, you know, the one thing that killed me with these kids is their shot. You know, it's sometimes I watch it and I'm like, are you just throwing it up? Do you have any kind of, you know, frame of reference behind why you shoot that way? Because it looks to me like you're just tossing it up in the air. You know, I eat Steph Curry, but Steph Curry has some direction to it. You know, it's not an ugly shot. I'll give him that, but it's not the most fundamental. And I guess that's what makes me wonder about their shot. You know, and then the other side of it, I think you brought up the fact that Melo scored, you know, some god-awful 900 points versus another team. But, you know, when you're going in against all, you're not going against the same level of competition. How does that really translate when you get into the same level of competition? Because we've had guys, not me and you personally, but, you know, there have been guys in the NBA who've been, you know, first-round draft picks and, you know, number one picks through number three, which are supposed to be the top, that, you know, 5 years later, you're going, oh, yeah, that's right. He was in the NBA for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, getting guys out of this league is, you know, it's good and bad like everything else. I mean, you know, Tony Parker's going to the Hall of Fame. He came out of one of those leagues where, you know, Ricky Rubio, who also came out of one of those leagues, probably hasn't quite performed to the way the NBA has expected him to. You know, not that he's a bad NBA player, but I think they were kind of expecting him to be a superstar, and you can't look at him and say he's a superstar. I guess, you know, we'll see down the road, but I don't think, you know, like just because he declared for the draft, I don't think he's drafted. Or if he is, somebody takes him at the bottom of the second round and he goes to the G League.
Good thing they don't have a Mr. Insignificant.
Yeah. No, Mr. Irrelevant is the NFL one. So.
Oh, okay.
You know, you get a parade and all that stuff. So, you know, that's always a big plus there. But, yeah, I don't know what other way to really look at it for this guy. I mean, you know, oddly, I think he's going to get a shot because of his name, and he's going to have to prove it. So, you know, we'll see here one way or the other.
Good luck, Jello.
Yeah. It would be nice if he, you know, if he made it. So, you know, we'll keep track of it and keep up with it just like everybody will, because, you know, sooner or later we're going to hear, you know, hear Dad spouting off.
We're only three months away. That's the baseball draft.
You know, that shouldn't take, take too much longer before we start hearing, you know, hearing LeVar talk about how he should be, you know, a first rounder or the first pick in the draft or whatever he's going to try to promote him as, you know, that will be quite interesting. So. But, you know, that's what we look forward to, right?
Yep, but I will tell you this. If he does go into the G League, I will make note of that and try to make it to the game that he's up against the Windy City Bulls. We'll see how that goes.
There you go. Yeah, maybe we can swing out there and attend and meet LeVar. You think LeVar will be at all the G League games?
I mean, what else is he? Well, you know, it depends on what Melo is doing. But I think it would be something. I wouldn't sit courtside because courtside's $100, but the tickets are pretty economical there. I don't know if we can get our press passes in line. I'm still working on that for the big three.
Yeah. Yeah, they shot us down, so.
Yeah, well, you know, year two might not be so big, so to speak. So, no pun intended, right? So we'll see how that goes. You got to apply for it closer to the game time, which is like June 20-something. So we'll see how it goes.
So, yeah, you know, it will be, you know, it could be fun. That may be the best part about it is if he, you know, he goes to the G League, we might actually get to go see him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have made the trip. And, well, you know, fortunately for us, the Cubs' former minor league affiliate was, you know, at the time only a half hour from, I think we were, you know, in between both of us. It was about a half hour from each one of us. And, you know, we had the luxury of, you know, checking out and scouting on Kyle Schwarber while, was it a free buffet thing too? I think that was pretty sweet about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then going down to South Bend a couple of years ago, which, you know, we definitely have to go back this summer, which I think we might try to do a little bit earlier because the month of July always seems to be kind of hectic for you. But, you know, I don't know who would be looking out for this year. Of course, that all changes, you know, because, you know, our good friend Chris Hagstrom doesn't even know who's coming to town until Thursday. I don't know if he gets the itinerary Wednesday or, you know, tomorrow, or if he gets it Thursday when they start coming in. But, you know, that'll be something. I don't know who we're going to be scouting out down there this summer, but I still think it'll be fun. Got to get that talent before they become stars, right?
Yes. Well, that's how it works. You know, you got to – you know, that's the only way to do it. Otherwise, you know, they're not talking to guys like us.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's just who we are. And, you know, even when they do talk to us, they move on to bigger and better things when they're done with us. Chris is oddly the only one who's actually hung around and still talked to us. So, you know, it's to the point now where we can't even get Mr. Fantasy to talk to us. He's too big for us.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see. Hey, all right. We've got the exit music for it. Well, all right. Of course, you know, the music piece, Dan and I are going to cut out of here, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it again. Follow us on the way to sportstownradio.com. Look for that new plug coming up tomorrow morning. Look over to Facebook. Give that a like. Don't interview at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are out there on the Twitterverse as well if you want to hunt us down. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.com.